Friends, I hope to read the hymns to us this evening. May the Lord help us in worshipping his holy name this night. We'll commence with hymn 684. 684. Of cistern waters art thou sick, and loathed the mire they bring, then hither stretch thy thirsty neck, and taste a living spring. A spring that issues from a rock, where purest waters flow, and rocky hearts by Moses struck, may to these waters go. No spring will quench a thirst like this. It makes a conscience whole, inspires the heart with heavenly bliss, and purifies the soul. Whoe'er can truly say, I thirst, may come and take his fill. 'Tis free for sinners vile and lost. 'Tis God who works the will. Its owner is a heavenly king, and by his winning ways he draws the thirsty to his spring, who drink and sing his praise. Lord, draw me by thy secret touch, or backward I shall start, for sure I want entreating much, so fearful is my heart.
Let us read together from the Word of God a few verses from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, the first 9 verses, then the second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 2. First reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, reading the first 9 verses. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. When they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians, reading from chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us. Help us to call upon his name at the throne of grace. O Lord, merciful, kind and gracious, it is our mercy to be able to venture to the throne of grace. It is through the merits and the person of thy dearly beloved Son, through his shed blood and righteousness, that the poor and the needy of thy people can enter into the holiest of all. And Lord, this is our mercy. We do thank thee for the gift, the unspeakable gift of thy dearly beloved Son, and who now suffered, bled, rose from the dead, ascended unto heaven at his heavenly Father's right hand, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. And Lord, we do pray, help us to draw near to thee. Oh, help us, Lord, to come with that real and true frame of heart and of mind, ready, Lord, to serve thee at thy feet, seeking, Lord, the drawing influence and blessing of thy Holy Spirit, not only to pervade over this gathering, but in the hearts of each one of us, to be drawn to thee, faith and love, and that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank thee, Lord, for this divine appointment in coming into the means of grace at this time, and that thou hast been pleased, Lord, to open the doors of thy house here at Swavesey. And yes, across the land, Lord, many of our chapel doors now being open for worship and devotion to thy name. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast been mindful of us. And we thank thee, Lord, for in particular that thou hast heard the prayers and the petitions of thy poor, needy people here below. O Lord, we often think thou knowest. David found in that vast wilderness, and he seemed to just have one desire. Oh, that he may be one indeed. One thing have I desired, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire in his temple. Lord, thou hast heard our prayers, thou hast seen our desires, and Lord, thou hast appeared, prayer hearing, prayer answering, to thy poor people here below. And we thank thee, Lord, for this time appointed, that we might worship at thy feet. We pray for thy presence amongst us, Lord. Oh, do be pleased to come. Be pleased to make this gathering complete. Be revealed unto us each, Lord, in a very real and particular way, as thy gospel is preached and proclaimed. And be pleased, Lord, to come. Touch each of our poor hearts, we pray thee, with thine abounding love to sinners, as it is beheld and seen by faith at Calvary's tree. Oh, we do pray, Lord, warm our hearts towards thee through thy sufferings and death. We do believe that in thy word, speaking to those two on the Emmaus road, that thou didst inform them, Lord, that of thy sufferings and death, as the scriptures were opened up to them, and their heart burned within them. Lord, we do pray, bless the experience to us, Lord. We want to feel thy presence. We want to partake of thy word and thy gospel, Lord. We want thee to come to each of our souls with a word in season for us, Lord. We want thee, Lord, to come and to meet our case and our need at this evening hour. And thou knowest how that we have come into the pews of thy house, Lord. All those things that we have offered up to thee by way of prayer and supplication, those great needs of our never-dying immortal souls, Lord, or that thou wouldest be pleased to be prayer-hearing and answering to each one, Lord, as they appear before thee at this time. And pray, Lord, that our time spent together may be a good and a profitable time, or that we may know the teaching of thy Holy Spirit, Lord. Oh, to lead us each into the glorious truths of thy gospel grace. Oh, that a precious Christ may be revealed to each one of us. Oh, as we do believe thou hast revealed to those scattered strangers, unto you therefore which believe is precious. O Lord, precious, as thou hast promised, Lord, even from the very beginning, the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head, even the glorious gospel preached and proclaimed then was the only hope for poor, guilty, ruined sinners. But, O Lord, thou didst come. Reveal thyself, Lord, in the fullness of time, as that holy child Jesus, and whose name was indeed Jesus, and that he shall save his people from their sins. Glorious salvation, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be revealed to each one of us this time as our great salvation. O Lord, come, we pray thee. Bring us, Lord, near to thee, to feel after thee, and to behold thee, Lord, upon the cross in our room and place, we pray thee. O be pleased, Lord, to show to us our great salvation in a precious Christ. O all ye that believe is precious in the room and place of a sinner. Oh, we do pray, Lord, then come to each one of us and be with us, Lord, this evening hour. Enlarge our souls upon thy name, upon thy person, the merits of thy life and the merits of thy death, Lord. Oh, bring our poor souls, Lord, into this glorious light and truth of the gospel, that our souls might live and have life and have it more abundantly in and through thee, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, that there may be that witness and testimony, Lord, that each one of us will be able to declare that we've been with Jesus. Oh, do come, Lord. We wait upon thee, Lord. Thou hast promised that they that hunger, Lord, that thou shalt fill them and with all thy goodness. And we do pray, Lord, that we may this evening hour know what it is to be filled with thy goodness. For only thou satisfiest the longing soul and fillest the hungry soul with goodness. Lord, it is a mercy, Lord, to be hungering and thirsting for that true bread of life that came down from heaven, even Lord Jesus. Oh, to be able, Lord, once more to partake of thee. Be pleased, Lord, to show thyself to us each, Lord, that our souls indeed might live, and upon the precious truths of thy gospel grace. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come then and undertake our cause and interest. Be with us each, Lord, in our particular life and path here below. O be that one, Lord, to go before us, to lead us and to guide us all our journey through. We think, Lord, of the cloud by day and of fire by night, leading, guiding the children of Israel through that wilderness journey, not a straight road, Lord, not a comfortable road, but thou didst go before them, Lord, and thou didst make a way for them, make a way for each one of us, Lord, through this vast wilderness here below. Be our only stay, Lord. Help us each, Lord, to wait upon thee for all our needs and all our concerns, we pray thee. Help us, Lord, to commit everything that concerns us, Lord, not only the great things, Lord, but the little things, Lord. Oh, we're brought to that place, Lord, that we can't manage the little things. Without me, ye can do nothing. We're brought, Lord, to prove those words thou knowest, and we need thee at all times. The little things, Lord. Oh, be pleased then to help us to come to the throne of grace. Never leave us to think, Lord, that we have any strength of our own, that we can trust in our own so-called wisdom, Lord. We cannot, Lord. Oh, we've been shown, Lord, by many experiences, Lord. Oh, we still bear with us that awful heart by nature. Oh, that heart indeed that is desperately wicked above all things, Lord. Oh, how can we ever look to ourselves? Oh, do, Lord, we pray thee, come, Lord, and wean us away from self, we pray thee, and help us to live wholly upon thee and upon thy name, and, Lord, where indeed thou art that only refuge in the time of trouble. Help us, Lord, then to live upon thee by faith, Lord, and to entrust everything that concerns us into thine ever-merciful hands. Keep us each close unto thyself, Lord. Be pleased to rule and to reign in our hearts and in our lives, we pray thee. O Lord, we do pray that we may be those that shall be helped to go forward, Lord, depending and trusting in and upon thee, we pray thee. Be with all the afflicted and the tried, the tempted, the persecuted, the sick of thy people, Lord. Oh, come to their help, Lord. Oh, be pleased, Lord, to come and bear them up, Lord. Come and speak the precious words of thy gospel into their souls, Lord, that the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, still held in those almighty arms of our God, still borne up and still carried, still brought thus far, Lord. And, oh, Lord, sweetly direct them, Lord, with all their troubles, with all their mourning and all their sorrowing, Lord. Lead them, Lord, to that most comfortable and blessed place, under the shadow of thy wings, Lord. Oh, that, Lord, they might find there a resting place, Lord, a covert under thy wings, Lord, a place of rest and peace for their poor souls, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, help them to come forth to that glorious place. We would not forget, Lord, oh, the glorious truth. There is one who they can look up to, one whom they can rely upon, and put all their confidence in all their sicknesses and their diseases, and, oh, to lean upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord, we have no other place to come to, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, when thou wilt bring us to the end of all things, oh, that we might venture out all upon thee, trusting in thy name. Be pleased then to draw near, Lord, to each and every one unable to attend at this time. Be pleased to be present where they are, Lord. Thou knowest their hearts, and thou knowest that they would be found, Lord, in the house of thy prayer. But, Lord, we do pray, Lord, as things are not permitting at the moment, that thou wilt be with them where they are, Lord, and help them, Lord, that they might still be worshipping at thy feet, still, Lord, seeking thee, though in those means, Lord, that are provided for us to use. O Lord, thou wilt be pleased to use, Lord, the inventions of man to the glory of thy name. And we do believe that it has been a truth, Lord. We have heard of many indeed that have received blessings. And so, Lord, we do pray and thank thee that thou art mindful of thy poor afflicted people here below. Oh, we do pray and thank thee, Lord, that in these things that thou art mindful of us. Oh, keep us close unto thee, Lord. Help us, Lord, to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and to wholly follow thee, we pray thee. And be with us, Lord, then in our homes, and be with us, Lord, in our workplace, if we are now going forth to our workplace. O Lord, be our great protector and our defender. Put a wall of fire round about each one of us, O Lord, we pray, and keep and preserve us, Lord. We pray thee from this pandemic, we pray, this pestilence. We know, Lord, a truth, and it is a truth indeed, that the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. And Lord, we do believe that we have seen thy hand, Lord, not only across this nation, but across this world. And in a moment of time, Lord, thou hast shown thy great power, and Lord, brought many nations, Lord, as it were, almost to their knees, crippled them. And, O Lord, we do pray that through these things, oh, that there would be a looking up, Lord. Oh, that there would be many hearts, Lord, brought to see and to behold this affliction, this time and period where there is much death, Lord, and this time and season where thou hast visited all nations and this nation that have offended so much against thee, Lord, in respect of all our sins and iniquities, and how that we're those, Lord, a nation that have brought in so much law and legislation that are contradictory to thy holy word of truth. We have blasphemed thy name, blasphemed thy day. O Lord, thou hast come to us. O Lord, bring many to see this. Lord, bring many strangers to see this. Bring our government to see it, Lord. Oh, that thou wouldest work mightily. Bring many to repentance, Lord, and to seek mercy and mercy through blood. May their plea be in the precious Christ through Calvary. O Lord, we ask that thou wilt be pleased to show thyself in thy great power. Save sinners, Lord. Oh, surely we are in the last days, the gospel days of the last days. We have read, Lord, of the Acts of the Apostles, the infancy of the gospel, the preaching of the word. But, O Lord, they were the last days, and we do believe that we have come to those last days, and thou art coming again. Thou hast shown thyself now, Lord, and may we be brought to see this truth. Thou art coming again, and that, Lord, it shall be in a day and an hour that we know not, but be ye ready. O Lord, we do pray, prepare us for thyself, each one of us. O do, Lord, work effectually in each of our hearts. Lay us low, Lord. Bring us to that prayer of confession and repentance, and plead that mercy that through the blood of Jesus for vile sinners, to cleanse them and to heal them. O Lord, we ask it, and be pleased now to draw near to us, Lord, as we further wait upon thee. We do pray, Lord, help thy servant to speak in thy name, thy word of truth. Give him utterance, Lord. Let it be, Lord, through thy spirit and with power, Lord. Put it in, Lord, into this earthen vessel, Lord, that it shall be thy word alone and not the word of a man. We pray, Lord, and through thy spirit take of the things of Jesus and show it unto us. And so we ask these mercies, seeking the pardon and forgiveness of all our sins through that all precious and worthy name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'll now read hymn number 616. Hymn 616. Precious Jesus, must it be? Is it thy all-wise decree that afflictions must attend Zion to her journey's end? Must the heirs of endless bliss travel through a wilderness, and by savage beasts of prey, be tormented night and day. Yes, affliction is their lot. Earth is a polluted spot, where a million evils dwell, all in league with death and hell. Pains and sorrows, sins and woes, will the Christian's way oppose. Every day brings something new, Zion's troubles to renew. Yet when faith is strong and true, they with cheerfulness go through, scorning all created good when opposed to Christ their God. Living faith will still esteem the reproaches of the Lamb greater riches than this earth can afford the sons of mirth. Oh, for faith this choice to make, and endure for Jesus' sake the reproaches of his cross, counting all things else but dross.
Seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, and reading from verse 13 and 14. Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, reading from verse 13 and 14. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just read this word yesterday, dear friends, and I became fixed upon it. It's a wonderful word, because if you read the beginning of it, at the beginning of verse 13, brethren, and then beloved of the Lord, and then read the closing of it, where called by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This, dear friends, is the beginning and the end of our faith. The beginning, dear friends, is our greatest blessing and mercy. And the end of it, dear friends, will be fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wonderful truth of these words is that it all began before time began, before the beginning, before the foundations of the earth were created. That is where these words began. And then it was declared then clearly that the whole salvation of the church was all sealed up and everyone known to our God before time began. And dear friends, in the fullness of time, the wonderful truth is that not one of those who are these here, brethren beloved of the Lord, will ever be passed by. Everyone whom he loved, not one of them will be passed by. Not one of them will be left. None at all. And the end, dear friends, it will be most glorious. It says, to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is heaven and glory. And these words captured my poor spirit, dear friends. Do you know why? Because I was found in these words. And I never sought God. I lived such a careless and an indifferent life, completely ignorant of these precious words. And I was brought to see that God took knowledge of me before the world was created and settled everything, and in the fullness of time appeared. And you know, some of you may know, I never went to a church or a chapel for 8 or 9 years. I didn't know what the inside of a church was. I think I might have gone to perhaps a wedding or something. And so, this wonderful truth, what is it that Paul saw when he came to this church at people at Thessalonica? Why, he preached for 3 weeks, and there were some that heard, some that believed. You see, there would be those Gentiles who indeed was found in that synagogue. You see, I believe the Gentiles became the greater company, truth. But you see, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Why? Because they were found in these precious words, dear friends. And they became miracles of grace. Miracles of grace. Was there anything deserving to any one of them? Was there any merit? Did they deserve anything, dear friends, but this great salvation? No. They were brought to see, dear friends, all their wretchedness of their lives. And there was a time, dear friends, when the Lord met with me and showed me all the wretchedness of my nature and the life that I lived, sinful life. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. You know, Paul, he never boasted, but he loved, dear friends, to see poor sinners gathered into the company of saints. He thought how blessed it was that the power of that word can be so applied into the hearts and souls of sinners to change them. And this is the truth here. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Isn't it a mercy, dear friends? Great mercy. The Lord, through his Spirit, began to work in and upon us, to change us, and prepared to hear and to receive this word, this glorious gospel that Paul preached. And there will be nothing but thanksgiving, dear friends. I don't know how it is, dear friends, with you, but it must be thanksgiving, thanksgiving, and thanksgiving. We will never be able to put a description upon the mercy that we have found. Never. Why should it come to such as we? We were perishing sinners, vile sinners, wicked sinners. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you. And we do know that when a poor sinner comes and gives some testimony of their faith in Jesus, oh, how we rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, how this is the truth, but we're bound to give thanks always to God for you. Oh, any poor soul, dear friends, brought to their knees, confessing, repenting, and give some glorious testimony of their faith in Jesus and his cross. It's a most wonderful mercy. You know, we cannot outspeak it, dear friends. This mercy that should come to sinners. God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he hath loved us. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. And then we say, brethren, why is gathering the church together? They're all brethren. They're all one, dear friends. One body in Christ, the glorious head of the church. All gathered together through the gospel. And they're brethren together. They're those that live a life spiritual unto the Lord. And dear friends, that we speak the same language. The precious things of Jesus. What he has done. Remember the word. And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. These are the brethren, dear friends. They speak what Jesus has done. What Jesus has wrought for them. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. May we never cease to give thanks to the Lord for every poor sinner, dear friends, that he gathers into the kingdom of his dearly beloved Son. I believe I am thanking him each day. Paul sent a messenger to Thessalonica, was so used through the gospel that he formed a church here. Brethren, and there's a church here in this locality, brethren, and we're brethren together. And we each love the Lord, don't we? For this reason, bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. And because it says here, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation, we must have been loved, dear friends, from the beginning. God's eternal and everlasting love upon some of lost mankind, beloved of the Lord. Isn't this such a wonderful word? Beloved of the Lord. Oh, Daniel, a man greatly beloved. That was the word that was spoken to him. Oh, Daniel, man greatly beloved. And this is another word, dear friends, that we will never be able to outspeak. If you can show to me, dear friends, the length, the breadth, the height and depth of this love, we cannot comprehend it, dear friends, that God should so show love to any one of us, show his mercy. He knew that we should be born sinners into this world. He knew that we would be corrupt and vile and base. He knew of the Adam fall and our first parents and all Adam's posterity. He knew. But it didn't alter this. Beloved of the Lord. No. Until we were brought to know and to feel our sins, dear friends. No, he loved us. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Beloved of the Lord. You know, I've thought of this quite often. beloved of the Lord, before time began, with an everlasting love. In this 13th and 14th verse, we have Father, Son, and Spirit. The Holy Three, one in three God, the Trinity of Persons. Glorious truth, dear friends. Let faith receive it. Let faith believe it. We will never be able to plumb the depth and discover the blessedness of it ourselves, never. But God the Father loved, and he loved the people, beloved of the Lord. And the word means dearly loved, dearly loved. How can we explain this love? Let us just see this, dear friends. Dearly loved, a wicked Manasseh. You've read of his life. Dearly beloved, a wicked Manasseh. Can you add it up, dear friends? Dearly beloved, 500 pence debtor, a wicked, awful life. Dearly beloved, can you reckon it up, look, dear friends? A madman, a legion of devils about him, mad. Dearly beloved, dearly beloved, Saul of Tarsus, on the Damascus road, with all the evil and wretchedness of his heart, seeking to destroy and overthrow this gospel and everyone that believed in it. But he didn't know that the Lord was on that road as well, did he? Dearly beloved. Now then, dear friends, tell me if you can reckon it up. Well, I'll show you. I'll show you, dear friends. I can't reckon it up. But how does God show and declare his love? I just thought of it in this way, dear friends. It's just the way that I was meditated a little upon this. But we read of the dear Lord Jesus, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. You know, he'd just administered the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And it's a glorious ordinance, dear friends. But when he went forth then it was Gethsemane. And it was there, dear friends, that he kneeled down, prayed to his heavenly Father. And the angel came to strengthen him. You see this dear man in our nature, you see, in our nature, to uphold him, to strengthen his mind to this that was before him. And this pure, this holy man in our nature, body and soul together, except sin. You see, this holy child Jesus, no sin, and yet bowed down here on his knees, sweating as it were great drops of blood, oozing out of his flesh, dear friends. Can we see this wondrous truth here? How he loved his people, dearly beloved here, this man on the ground, sweating drops of blood, and every sweat and drop for his people. Every. And every one of them were in the love of his heart, dear friends, dearly beloved. Think of it. This is how God loved us, dear friends. And then in a little while, he went forth to the cross to fulfill his heavenly Father's will for who? Wretched sinners, undone sinners, vile sinners. But here they were dearly beloved. Can we see it, dear friends? I cannot. He was in our room and place. Wondrous gospel truth this, dear friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man. Oh, how he loved his people. Greatly beloved, it says, greatly beloved. Beloved of the Lord. Greater love hath no man than this. See how Jesus loved his church. Loved them, dear friends. Oh, they were the love of his heart, dear friends. He was ready, willingly, to lay down his life for them. Every one of them. Not one of them should be lost that his heavenly Father gave to him is the truth. Dearly beloved, dearly loved, an unchanging love, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. Dear friends, It begins with thanksgiving. We've got so many things to thank the Lord for, haven't we? You see this dear man lingering upon the cross, deformed, bones out of joint, his visage marred more than any man's. The weight of his body on those nails that we drove in through our sins. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. It's his dying love to sinners, dear friends. The Lord has been pleased from time to time to break up my poor heart in respect of this love. And particularly when I reflect upon my life, there are two important things for us each, and I've spoken of this of late. Our never-dying immortal soul is the most precious thing. There is nothing more precious. If you should gain the whole world and lose your own soul, how solemn it is. And then there is another thing, most important for every one of us. May we continually be brought into the realization that eternity is before each one of us. And we're going to come there, dear friends. The blessing is at the end of the verse 14 for the church. And friends, be found on praying ground over it. These are the two most important truths before us. Our souls, I can speak of these things, dear friends, because I was completely ignorant, indifferent and careless about my own soul. Absolutely. I was in complete darkness and ignorance, dear friends, of my great need as a sinner. And I believe I can preach of it now. So that the Lord might use it and not leave any other to go on in the path of destruction. But the Lord might come and change and renew by his grace. Beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. It's a wonderful word, this, salvation. It means a complete safety and preservation of our never-dying immortal souls. A complete and a full salvation. It is in Jesus. But you see, it was from the beginning, before time began. That is what it means. It was from before the beginning that this salvation was set down, and I made mention of Father, Son, and Spirit. This salvation has been known, dear friends, when time began, but it was prepared before time. Everything was settled. Father, Son, and Spirit, it was in the covenant of his grace. Now, there was another word which I just thought of, and it's found in Timothy. And it says this, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This is something most glorious, isn't it? Given to us before time began. How could it ever be so? Dear friends, I try to meditate sometimes, but I can only think of this most glorious and blessed truth, dear friends. Our names were all written in the Lamb's Book of Life before time began. And that's why it was given to us. Because Jesus came, dear friend, with his salvation, the second and glorious person, the Trinity of persons, to become our mediator. Oh, dear friends, to come in the fullness of time and to seal us in that Lamb's Book of Life. And it was for everyone whose name was written in that Lamb's Book of Life. Everyone will be saved. May it be, dear friends, a matter of prayer. It's something we want to know. I want these confirmations, dear friends, in my poor soul as I journey on. What Jesus has done for me. We're coming to the end, dear friends, of our lives. And you young people, dear friends, it won't be long. Sometimes the young are taken before the elder. It won't be long. It's a time, dear friends, to be on our knees. A beggar. Suing for mercy. I can exhort this because of the great need of our never-dying immortal souls, and to plead with him. It's a question here, isn't it? That our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We want to know something about it for ourselves. We want to know of this love here, that is spoken of, dearly, dearly beloved. And this salvation, where all was settled before time began, and in this salvation, the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head, that was the completion of the agreement and harmony of Father, Son and Spirit, that Jesus should come and save his people from their sins. And he came. And it was the gracious promise, dear friends, of the gospel preached when man fell. It was the gracious words that came out of Eden's garden. Seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. See our first parents. See Abel, dear friends. Oh, they were taught to feel their need again of sin, of being sinners. And Abel took his sacrifice because God had provided a sacrifice. And so Abel took his sacrifice, and it was an offering well acceptable unto God. You see, and in that sacrifice, his faith looked to the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head, the precious Christ. There was his salvation. It was accounted unto him for righteousness. Salvation. And I say this because it was a salvation for everyone from the beginning of time to the very end of time. See this salvation, dear friends, with David. He came to the end of his days, and I said there was a covenant made. Though my heart be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. It was all his desire, dear friends. That was his peace. That was the comfort of his soul. It is what God had done in Christ for him. And Jesus became his covenantee. Everything was settled for him. And then, dear friends, a little later on, the glorious truth of the gospel was preached and proclaimed. The gospel light was beginning to glow brighter and brighter, dear friends, through the Old Testament dispensation. I just think of that time when Moses and the children of Israel, I just think of it and I'll just go back to it. You see, they were those that cried to the Lord, you know. They were those, the Egyptians were behind them, the mountains the side of them, and the Red Sea before them. However could they be saved? And Moses said unto the people, fear thou not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. And he showed it to them. And I know it was a literal salvation, but there's a spiritual application of that, dear friends. Oh, it's the Red Sea of Christ's blood, isn't it? There was a way made for them, a way of escape, a way of deliverance, a way of salvation. It's in Jesus, dear friends, Jesus. And then the glorious gospel that was preached a little later, and it was the gospel declared. The gospel light was shining brighter and brighter. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. Think of Jesus. Was there a prophet and a teacher and a minister like him? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him. It isn't the feet that are beautiful. It's the message that was carried. The gospel. That bringeth good tidings. That publisheth peace. That bringeth good tidings of good. That publisheth salvation. That saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Well, Jesus did come, dear friends, didn't he? In the fullness of time. Let us just see it in two places, this great salvation And salvation, dear friends, it's a wonderful word. But I did think of Simeon. You see, the Spirit of the Lord showed to him that he should not see death, till he had seen the Lord's Christ. Lettest now thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He bore up in his arms this holy child Jesus, and it was his eye of faith upon the offering, dear friends. Just think of the Passover lamb. You see, that was the glorious truth. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Isn't that the wonderful truth? He bore up in his arms that Passover lamb, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That was all the peace that he wanted in his poor soul. And he knew that that holy Lamb of God was going to suffer and become a sacrifice for his sins. Glorious truth, dear friends. Then Jesus came and preached the gospel to Zacchaeus, didn't he? Today, salvation is come to this house. See how it changed him. This is the salvation, dear friends. See how it changed that man's life. You know, it was a man that lived to himself, wasn't he? You see. Yes, he was a publican. And yes, he was in that position, dear friends, where he could indeed deceive, and he could take from others. He was in that position, you see. The very solemn truth, because it was his confession, wasn't it? Let me just read it, dear friends. It was that he confessed, you see. And behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. The Lord, through his preaching, dear friends, it came with power into his soul. It broke up the man, changed him. It wasn't his money anymore. He was rich, he was very rich. Now he is ready to be very poor. He is. And he's ready to give away. That was the confession of his faith, dear friends. The profession of his faith in the Lord. This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. What is the truth in that? The glorious truth of the gospel. Why, Abraham received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he? That in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. And he was one of those, dear friends, of that seed. This number here that is spoken of, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. They will all be gathered. As I say, not one will be left behind, dear friends. And particularly when we read of this beloved of the Lord. No, he suffered for them. But this is the truth with Zacchaeus. Jesus said this, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He was brought to see that he was a lost sinner, dear friends. And that is a mercy to be brought there, isn't it? A lost, ruined sinner. And Jesus was sent that he should seek and save those which were lost. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. That divine change wrought in the soul. There will be repentance in this, dear friends. There will be a confession of sins and iniquities. Yes, dear friends, but that was the gospel that the Lord sent the apostles out to preach. You see, repentance for the remission of sins through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The sanctification of the Spirit, dear friend, is the sanctification. It's the work of grace, dear friends, in the soul that separates us from everything else besides. All the worldliness that might be in us. All our own so-called head knowledge, dear friends. And the life that we live, dear friends, a life of sin, you see. Oh, this sanctification, it's a separation. It's a sanctifying effect upon the soul to set that soul apart, dear friends, for the Lord and for a holy use. That would be the matter with Zacchaeus and all of the Lord's people. It's a life, dear friends, living unto him. It's a life living after the new man of grace. It's a life seeking holiness and godliness. It will be with us all our journey through, dear friends, this sanctification. This being separate. I just think of a word now. It's in this word, because the next word it says, sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. I just think of that prayer of the Lord Jesus in the 17th of John, and in the 17th verse it said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And the word will do it, dear friends. This truth, it's in Jesus, it's in the gospel, it's the written and the incarnate word, this truth. It's in the whole of the gospel, dear friends. And it's Jesus, isn't it? Truth. And Jesus, he was one, dear friend, said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And this sanctifying, it may have been because the disciples were already redeemed souls, they were already in that sense set apart, but it may be for that work of the ministry to sanctify them, for that particular work and the office of apostles and ministers of the gospel, you see. But it also is that which is so clearly must be towards all Christians that are changed and renewed by grace. Dear friends, it's no more living to the world, no more living to the lusts of the flesh and living in our sins, dear friends, in a corrupt life and a corrupt nature. No, we will be often on praying ground for deliverance from these things. Why, dear friends, why? We don't want to offend against Jesus. See that dear man suffering upon the cross for sinners and for our sins. Dear friends, hasn't he been made precious to us? No. We wouldn't sin and offend against him. How often our prayers are that the Lord will keep us, that the Lord will preserve us, that the Lord will keep us faithful to him, that he will work in us his Spirit and his grace and his power. And we pray for the graces of the Spirit to be upon us. And we pray for that nature of the dear Lord Jesus, that we might be more like him and resemble him, you see. That's the prayer of a poor, needy sinner. They have to be kept, because we can't keep ourselves. But it will be a life of sanctification, a continually coming to Jesus to cleanse us, to heal us, to make us more like him, bring us nearer to him. And it's in the truth, belief of the truth. Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. It's the whole, it's the gospel, dear friends. One of the most wonderful truths is this, and the great help that it is to us, It's the constraint of the Holy Spirit upon us. And it's a mercy to have that upon us, dear friends. And it's the constraints of his dying love in our poor souls, you see. And then it's that fear that he is pleased to put into our hearts, dear friends, to keep us close to him. No more to live to the vanities of this life, dear friends. We're set apart. A holy people. This is the glorious change wrought within us through the truth. Chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And this word choosing. Oh, it's such a wonderful word, dear friends. See Saul of Tarsus, a chosen vessel unto me. Oh, the wonderful truth of that, dear friends. Saul of Tarsus, that wicked man. And then it's a heavenly calling, dear friends, a choosing of our God. As we just come to the last part of our text. If I can just open the page. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glorious gospel, isn't it? It's a gospel just suited to the case of a poor, needy, vile sinner. Called you, a heavenly calling. Came from heaven, dear friends. You know, we cannot receive anything, dear friends, but what comes from heaven by way of salvation. There's nothing carnal in it, dear friends. No, it's by Father, Son, and Spirit. It is by power, dear friends. It is a heavenly calling. And, dear friends, there'll be no mistake about it. If the Lord is leading you on, if the Spirit of the Lord, dear friends, is working effectually in and upon thy soul, afflicting thee, making thee low, dear friends, bringing thee to nothing, this is the gospel, you see, and a sense and a knowledge of our sins through the Spirit of the Lord. Dear friends, you see, it is the Spirit that will convince and convict of sin. But what a mercy to be afflicted. What a mercy to be humbled. What a mercy to be a crying sinner. What a mercy to be pleading the precious blood of Jesus. What a mercy to come by faith to the cross of Jesus and to see our only hope of salvation in him. Most glorious, dear friends. Everything has been provided, dear friends, for the full and a free salvation for sinners. And it's in Father, Son, and Spirit. There's so much religion today, dear friends, so much flesh in it. And it's an offence to God. This easy believism, thinking that they have somewhat to offer for their salvation. No, this salvation cannot be supplemented in any way. No, he gave his dearly beloved Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his dearly beloved Son, for that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, what a mercy it is to come under the influence of the Spirit and the power of God and be made willing in the day of his power as this wondrous gospel is preached into the soul of a poor sinner. It will begin to change you, dear friends. Yes, it will. It will be the most blessed affliction that you've ever had. And you will be coming back to the first words, thanksgiving. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the end. This is the inheritance. Jesus said, ought not Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? It isn't that essential glory of Christ, but it's in to enter into heaven, the third heaven, at the right hand of the Father. This was the glory. His resurrection from the dead, dear friends, and his ascension into heaven is the most glorious gospel truth, because the church are going to follow him. You see, he's made a way into the holiest of all. Who for, dear friends? Oh, for his people. And they will, dear friends, in that day see and behold him. Have you got a hope in this, dear friends? I'm just thinking of a word. In Ephesians 1 and verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, as the Lord enlightened thy eyes, dear friends, as he turned thy darkness into light, as he shown thee, dear friends, in his word, that great need of thy never-dying immortal soul, as he revealed a precious Christ in the gospel to thy poor soul. You see, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is the hope of our calling, dear friends? Isn't it truly what Christ has done and wrought for us? But it's in this, isn't it? And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It's what Jesus went to heaven, dear friends, to provide, to prepare a place for his people beside him. And he's there now. Is it thy hope and my hope? I haven't got any other hope, dear friends. No. No. Job saw the blessedness of that in his affliction. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he knew that he would see him, dear friends, and behold him, and see him eye to eye. Oh, what a mercy it is. Is it our hope, dear friends? Well, what a glorious word this is. My poor mind was fixed on it, and I hope that I shall always be able to hope in what Jesus has done for me. It isn't just a salvation, you see, of our souls. It's a salvation to the uttermost. And if you read that word in Hebrews 7, I think it's verse 25, I'm not sure, but it says, salvation to the uttermost, even everlasting life. I'll just read another precious word to you and then we will finish. It is a good word, and it's in John chapter 6 and verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believe. Isn't that a wonderful word? Everyone that seeth the Son. Oh, it will be by a living faith. But to see him in our room and place, oh, to see him in the wonderful gospel that he has provided for us, and to see him for our salvation, dear friends, in a very real and personal way, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, that I will raise him up at the last day. How haven't we got this confidence, dear friends? Isn't he one that rose from the dead? So he will also raise up his people, dear friends. This is our hope and our only trust, dear friends. It's what Jesus has done and wrought. And he's faithful in his word and his promise. He will never let any of his people down. And one thing is sure, he will come to everyone whom his heavenly Father gave to him. None will be passed by, dear friends. The salvation that we've been speaking of, and this love, has he ever passed by any? He hasn't, dear friends. No, and he never will. May this be our only hope of mercy and salvation through Jesus, through his finished work, what he has done for us, and now his resurrection into heaven, our forerunner, who hath for us entered and prepared a place for us. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Philip Warren will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Timothy Parish on Tuesday evening next week. And our friends at St. Ives hope to hold a prayer meeting tomorrow evening. Let us close with I'll close by reading hymn 579. Salvation, O my soul, rejoice. Salvation is of God. He speaks, and that almighty voice proclaims his grace abroad. How wonderful, how grand the plan, all deities engaged to rescue rebel, ruined man from Satan's power and rage. The Father loved us ere we fell, and will forever love. Nor shall the powers of earth or hell his love from Zion move. 'Twas love that moved him to ordain a surety just and good, and on his heart inscribed the name of all for whom he stood. Nor is the surety short of love. He loves beyond degree. No less than love divine could move the Lord to die for me. And oh, what love the Spirit shows when Jesus he reveals to men oppressed with sin and woes. He all their sorrows heals. The three in one and one in three in love forever rest, and Zion shall in glory be, and with his love be blessed.
Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.